Welcome you to the February regulation meeting. Wish you all a belated, who I haven't seen, a belated Happy New Year. And roll on Christmas. Before I go through my bullet points, which I've been reminded that I must go through on my list in front of me, I would just like, Colin, just the planning officer, would like to just say a few words to the committee members at present. Colin.
Thank you, Chairman. This is just to introduce the service manager, who's just been on maternity leave, to the members of the committee, because obviously there's some new members on the committee when she were left to go on to maternity leave. It's Helen Vittery behind me. She'll be returning back late April. And I just want to show you her face and see she's doing well and the baby's very healthy. Thank you.
Roll on the sleepless nights then. Yeah.
Or the end of
nice to see you, Helen.
What you really mean, Tony.
Yeah. Well, if it's a quiet baby, it's you know, it does apply. But anyway, let me just go through my bullet points, which I must do. I'd like to remind all members here and online that it is only members in this room who will be able to do any voting at this meeting. The agenda paper and papers have been published on the council's website in advance of this meeting. And for the benefit of everyone, could I kindly request that members and officers refer to page numbers when they are talking and referring to information from within the agenda. I have to advise you that public speaker information was circulated on the 7th of February and that the council will be making an audio recording of the meeting, which will be published on the website. Today's meeting will be run with a hybrid format and the meeting will be webcast. Committee members and key officers are physically present within this room in County Hall. Other elected members and officers may physically or remotely join the meeting to speak on specific agenda items or to observe. There is also some provision for any members of the public who have registered by the deadline and have wished to speak to attend the meeting. This can be either virtually or in person. Other members of the public and partners can observe the meeting remotely via Microsoft Teams. I would just like to advise those online to use the meeting chat function, and it's only for this meeting, primarily to indicate to myself and to the officer, the administrator, that you wish to speak. And you will do so then at my invitation, and I would ask that you state your name for the records before you speak. Please note, if you are online, the importance of turning off microphones and cameras when not speaking. And I would like to draw your attention to the facility in MS Teams under the ellipse button called Turn On Live Captions, which provides subtitles on the screen. To item one on the agenda is apologies for absence. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, that we have no apologies, that all members of the committee are present and correct in this room. Correct, Fiona? Thank you. Declarations of interest. Are there any more declarations of interest from members around the tables? Other than those statutory ones which are already being given? No? None to declare? Thank you. Minutes of the last meeting. Is it your wish that I sign the minutes of the last meeting as a true and accurate record?
Yes, Chair. So proposed.
Thank you. Thank you very much indeed. Public question time. I asked to highlight to you all that we have received from a member of the public and one member of the public and two applicant agents have registered to speak. These were all received by the correct deadline time, and that their statements questions will be considered as part of the relevant agenda items, item 5 and 6. This was circulated on the 7th of February. Right, moving swiftly on, if you'd like to turn to your agenda papers, the first item on the agenda is Unit 22 Evercreech Junction, Shepton Mallet, Somerset, BA46NA, application SCC/3854/2021, page 17 and 18 of your agendas. Now, this is a Section 73 application to vary two conditions: approved plans, 3 noise mitigation and 4 nighttime noise limit, in respect of planning permission reference 2017/3147/CNT. Section 73 application is to amend condition 2, approved plans, and specification 3, noise mitigation, and 5, dust control, in respect of planning permission 2013-2083 for the construction of an anaerobic digester plant. The applicant is BioConstruct. I have to inform you that certain members of this committee undertook a pre-meeting visit ahead of this meeting, not today, earlier this week. And at this moment in time, I would now like to invite the case officer, Ruth Amundson, to introduce and highlight key points with the aid of a PowerPoint presentation. And I would like to hand over to her.
Okay, is that better? Yeah, yes. Lovely. Right. Okay, so the application seeks to vary conditions attached to a permission for an anaerobic digester. It's at Evercreech Junction Industrial Estate near Shepton Mallet. Permission was originally granted for the facility in 2013, and that permission was varied via a Section 73 application in 2017. The proposed amendments currently before you relate to varying the approved plans and documents to regularise a change in layout brought about by new technology that's been used, and to amend the noise mitigation measures to omit an attenuation fence that was previously part of the proposal. As originally submitted, the application proposed a change to the approved nighttime noise limit from 25 decibels to 38 decibels, but the applicant has now withdrawn that part of the application. So as you can see, the site there is at the northern end of the industrial estate. It's got direct access from the estate road onto the A371. And in terms of settlement, you can see the village of Ditchy to the west, and various scattered houses around the application site. There's also within the industrial estate, I think perhaps on the next slide, please. Yeah, so that just gives a closer view of the industrial estate, and to the south of the site there is a waste transfer station and various other uses within the estate. Okay, if we could move on, please. Yeah, so that is just a closer view of the Red Line application site and a couple of satellite images just showing the industrial estate and the surrounding area. And the next one, please. Yeah, And similar sort of thing there. Okay, next slide, please. Right, so this is quite a useful layout plan, and it shows, what it shows is the approved layout, the approved layout in grey, and then superimposed on that is the proposed layout, the proposed alterations. So I think you'll see from that that the overall scale of the development isn't altered. It's sort of quite minor changes in the location of the tanks and the building. Okay, the next slide, please. And those are the elevations. So one change is that sort of on the third elevation down there to the right hand side, the flue is now external, and it just projects beyond the plane of the roof, but just marginally. And the next one, please. And that is just the elevations of the reception building there. So in terms of consultation, a summary of the consultation responses is included in the report. A site notice was posted and letters sent to nearby residents. We have received objections from local residents and businesses in Evercreech, Ditchy and the surrounding area, raising concern about noise, in particular nighttime noise, dust, air pollution, light pollution, odour, health impact and traffic. Since the report was prepared, three additional letters have been received, one from Evercreech Parish Council confirming its earlier objection to the proposal on the grounds of the proposal would diminish local amenity, one from a local resident raising concern about light pollution and noise. I've also received a late letter from the Environment Agency, which raises concern about noise. It refers to a variation that's been received to the environmental permit for the site, and to complaints that have been received from local residents since the plant has been operational. It refers to the different roles of the permit, of the permitting authority and the planning authority, and advises that the agency has been working with Mendip District Council Environmental Health Department to resolve the issues, but it recommends that further studies take place with various planning options to minimise noise impact. So just to comment on those points, the principle of the development has been established by the earlier permissions. The current application seeks minor variations to the layout and to the noise mitigation measures proposed. National guidance advises that planning decisions should focus on whether a proposal is acceptable in land use terms, and should assume that the relevant pollution control regime will operate effectively. Having said that, the Environment Agency point out that the suitability of the location and the appropriate land use planning controls cannot be replicated through a permit. So for example, the example that they used was that if landscaping was considered to help with noise mitigation, the permit can't require that, it would have to come via the planning application. However, Mendip District Council Environmental Health Department were a consultee, and they have raised no objection to the proposal based on additional information that was provided by the applicant. Could I have the next? Oh, there we are. Right. No, sorry, back one. Yeah, so those are the key issues arising from the application. And taking into account the responses from consultees and other material considerations, the proposal is considered to be in accordance with the development plan, in particular policies DM3, DM6 and SD1 of the Somerset Wastecourse strategy, and the proposal would have limited impacts which are capable of being satisfactorily controlled by conditions. And the relevant conditions will be carried forward from the earlier permissions. And the next one, please. So the recommendation, there's a slight change here, but the recommendation is that planning permission be granted subject to the prior completion of a Section 106 agreement to secure highway improvements and landscape works in line with the earlier permissions granted in 2013 and 2017, and the legal agreement dated 2015, and also the financial provisions of a travel plan, and also subject to the conditions set out in the report, but with a couple of amendments, and that authority be granted to take to undertake any minor non-material editing which may be necessary to the wording of those conditions. The principal highway requirements of the 2015 agreement were to provide bus stops on the A371, surfacing of a public footpath, provision of a new section of footway along the main road, and the provision of a right turn lane on the A371. Just for members' information, a separate application has been submitted, which seeks to amend those requirements, in particular with regard to the right turn lane, so that the provision of that is dependent on the level of traffic generated at the A371 junction. It's proposed that the timing of the provision of the right turn lane would be informed by regular monitoring for the duration of the development, and there would be an agreed trigger level, which would be set out in a detailed assessment which is yet to be provided. For this reason, the application will need to be determined separately once the information to support the application has been submitted and considered. And this may lead to the Section 106 agreement referred to, that I just referred to, being varied at a later stage. But that's an issue for the future, not something that's before us now. And just, I mentioned revised conditions. So I'm going to propose an additional condition, which is that no materials for processing within the development hereby permitted shall be received until such time as the right turn lane on the A371 opposite the estate junction has been fully constructed, consolidated and surfaced in accordance with the approved design and specification. And the reason for that is in the interests of highway safety. And condition six in the report, I'd like to propose a revised wording for that, which is that prior to the commencement of the development, a travel plan is to be submitted and approved in writing by the local planning authority, including soft and hard measures to promote sustainable travel, targets and safeguards by which to measure the success of the plan, a timetable for implementation of the measures, and a monitoring regime of travel habits, and that the development should not be occupied unless the agreed measures are implemented in accordance with the agreed timetable and continue to be implemented for the required duration. So the financial provisions of the travel plan will need to be secured via a Section 106 agreement, and the reason for that condition, amended condition, is in the interests of highway safety and the amenity of the local area.
Thank you, Simon. To advise that a statement was received from Esalt and Elsucky objecting, and a summary, they are not here present today, and a summary of their submission will now be read out by our governance officer, Neil Milne.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Just to confirm, this is a statement that has been received from S. Ulf and L. Suckey, which I will read in their absence. As residents of Railway Cottage at the entrance to Evercreech Junction, we are very concerned as to the impact this planning request will have on our daily lives and also on the value of our property, which could then leave us in a very difficult position. Since purchasing our home 16 months ago, which we bought in a poor state of repair. We have completed building work on an extension, including a slate roof, three skin walls, including stone masonry work, window framing, windows fitted, rendering, lime rendering and plastering, as well as extensive work comprising an average of 2 days each a week for both of us. We have even had a famous signed graffiti artist paint every interior wall of our barn. Therefore, in our time here, we have added much greater value to our home. As well as this, it is important for me, particularly as a driver of a special needs school bus, to get a good night's sleep every night. Not doing so would put myself and the children on my vehicle at risk, which would, of course, be unacceptable. I would like to note, as on my previous objection, that we looked into this planning and decided it was okay to proceed with the purchase given the mitigations in place. However, I now feel it is rather obvious that the company will and have likely always intended to ensure this planning goes through in full. Given the stage they are currently at with it, and further research makes me wonder if the plant could even run on the premise of the original agreement. I also wish to point out that while there is conflicting research on the effect of house prices and the local area in general in regards to biogas plants, most favourable research seems to be in countries where there are limits on proximity to houses to over 3 kilometres. Our home is less than half of this, and every lorry will have to drive past our boundary wall, which, as stated, is not acceptable during night hours. Ultimately, I doubt this planning will not be approved. Therefore, if my concerns of being put into a position of unenjoyment of home life, risk at work through lack of sleep, and not being able to move due to the devalue of our property are realised, I will most certainly seek abatement to the fullest of my abilities, and failing that, would have no other choice than legal proceedings under Land Compensation Act 1973 to recover our loss. And just to repeat, that was a statement made on behalf of S. Ulf and L. Suckey. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you for that, Neil. I'd now like to invite Jasmine Eaton and Alex Fitzgerald, who are the applicants, to speak. Which one of you two would like to go first? Could somebody help Jasmine switch on, please? Could I suggest you sit down and speak close to the microphone, please?
All good. Shall I go from the beginning?
Yeah.
Carry on.
Yeah. Good afternoon. My name is Jasmine and this is my colleague Alex. We are representing Plandasil Consulting Engineers, who are acting as agents to the applicant, assisting with the planning and civil engineering design of Evercreech AD plant. The applicant is applying to vary conditions 2 and 3 of their existing planning permission to permit design changes which are required due to upgrades in technology. The plant is currently fully operational based on the design and layout applied for under this section 73. The proposed variation of condition 2 would permit the design changes which most notably include alteration of the reception building footprint, not height, removal of the digestate evaporator unit, relocation and resizing of the odor control filter, the removal of 2 of the 3 previously proposed combined heat and power units, known as CHPs, and the repositioning of the remaining CHP. These amendments do not materially alter the character or principle of the approved development. The input and output of the plant and resulting transport movements will remain unchanged as per the previous application. The red line area will not be affected. There are no changes to the plant's process and no increase in noise levels. The reduction of CHPs from 3 individual units to a single larger unit necessitates the variation of condition 3 because, as demonstrated by the latest noise impact assessment, the previously proposed acoustic barrier is not necessary to mitigate the noise levels of the revised equipment proposals. Instead, a number of mitigation measures have been proposed in the noise impact assessment, which include acoustic enclosures to specific items of plant, selection of the quietest available equipment, and specification of silencers to the CHP and odour abatement unit exhaust systems. The noise impact assessment concludes that with these mitigation measures installed, the development can achieve the 25 decibel limit required by condition 4, thus negating the need to vary this condition anymore. Therefore, the variance of condition 4 no longer forms part of this application, and noise levels will adhere to the 25 decibel limit. The application has received notification of a noise complaint made to the Environment Agency recently. If this application is approved and the mitigation proposed in the noise impact assessment installed, the noise levels will be reduced to meet the required 25 decibel limit and should prevent any further noise concerns. It should be noted that the applicant and their noise consultant have worked with statutory consultees to alleviate their concerns regarding noise.
30 seconds left.
Resulted in the Environmental Health removing their objection. Thank you for your time, and please let us know if you have any questions. Left or right?
Alex. Sorry? It's just Jasmine speaking. Thank you for that. I now turn to local members. I know they're not in the room, but are they present online? That is Claire Sully and Councillor Alex Wilshire. If they would like to speak, if they're online. No, they're not. I'm informed they are not online, so that one dealt with. I would now like to go back to the case officer or the planning manager to respond to the points raised by the objector in his, that Neil read out, which a written response will be sent to, and also to the objections which have been put in writing through the planning officer, the applicant and local members. So, I mean, if it says local members, so have any local members objected to it? And but as I say, I will just leave it in your hands to respond, if not to the words that Neil read out from Mr. Alf. And
okay, so I'm not aware that any local members responded to the
that's fine.
Yeah. In terms of this statement that was read out, just extracting the planning issues there, it was noise nuisance and the buffer zone, or the proposed buffer zone. So in terms of noise, that has been addressed in the report. I think a lot of the objections were to the originally proposed increase in the nighttime noise limit, which has now been removed from the application. And the environmental health officer from Mendip is satisfied. There's been an exchange of requests for information, and the information has been provided that allows them to be satisfied that the noise limits can be complied with, and that they won't have an impact on amenity. The buffer zone, the 3 kilometre buffer zone, that is a requirement. It seemed to be from a different country. There's nothing like that in English guidance or statute.
Thank you for that, Ruth. Right. I'd now like to invite committee members to speak. And the first one will be Martin.
Chairman, thank you. A couple of points, if I may. Are we to presume this is a retrospective application?
Because I would ask if you've got...
It's a question.
That's all you want to say. That's all you want to say.
No. The other one is, can we at some stage have the changed condition show to us, because I heard them read out, but I couldn't hear them very clearly, and that will make a big difference to our decision, particularly on the traffic one, I believe. But that's possible.
Thank you. Thank you for that, Martin. Ruth, do you want to take them as we go? Yes, please. Thank you.
So I couldn't attend the site meeting on Monday, but I think the you will have seen from that, those that attended, that the application is partially retrospective, at least. And the change conditions, I can read them out again. Does that help?
Screen.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, let's see what we can do.
Meanwhile, while that's being done, Martin, I will carry on and go to my Councillor Caswell.
Thank you, Chairman. I attended the site visit and basically, I was extremely impressed with the cleanliness of the site. And as some of you know, I do have a hearing defect, but even with my hearing aid turned off, I was able to hear quite clearly the conversations. So the noise thing doesn't really register with me in that respect. This system seems to work very well, and it seems to me that they have gone the extra mile with this. Now, we're here today, as far as I can recollect, and correct me if I'm wrong, please do, and members, please correct me if I'm wrong. The principle of this development is not in question. What is in question is the variation of the conditions. And I've listened to the people, I've listened to the applicant, and I've listened to the opposition to this development. And at the moment, I'm still contemplating my response, but I'd just like to say I was extremely impressed. Now, I live not too far away from another one in Somerset, which generates electricity. And the odour from that one is absolutely incredibly bad. This one, the only place I could smell anything at all, got on my nerves, if you like to say this, was inside the receiving shed. All the rest of it you couldn't smell out of it. And I noticed that they have extremely fast shutting doors, and that aids keeping the odour in. So at the present moment in time, I'm still contemplating on the matter, and I'll listen to everybody else, but thank you.
Thank you for that, Councillor Caswell. Who else?
Can we see the conditions?
Yeah, I'm just looking around. No one else is there. Are the conditions ready to be put upon the change conditions? Who's that then? Councillor Dunk, do you want to go while the officer's still trying to do that?
It's on again. I didn't touch it. I just wanted to know what sort of waste streams are going through typically these digesters. And I have seen a digester in another location, and they used quite a wide variety, including waste apple pulp and old bread. But I just wanted to see what sort of smells might be sort of coming off the waste that comes into the site. And is the site producing gas that can be put into the grid? That's two questions.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so the process treats organic waste, so it can be any sort of organic waste, so that can include vegetable, you know, agricultural waste, or it can include food waste. I'm not sure what this particular plant is accepting at the moment. It would depend on you know, the contracts that they've got in place, it will, you know, it has to be organic. And in terms of the gas, yeah, it also produces it. So the products are a gas, a renewable gas that can be used for heating or to the grid, digestate, which can be used, so liquid digestate, which can be used as a fertilizer, and also a soil improver.
Thank you for that, Ruth. Right.
Ruth. Turn your mic on. Thank you.
Matt, Councillor Martin. They are very temperamental.
Hello, Mum.
Yeah.
There we are. Okay.
Thank you. Sure. Blimey. Thank you, Chair. I confess I'm having problems with finding anything to object to on this application. I don't see this problem, but I've got a couple of questions regarding the presentation that we heard. Well, first one, am I to understand that we've had confirmation from the applicant that the vehicle movements won't change from where they are at the moment? And do those vehicle movements run through the night? So that's a non-starter.
I believe from the site visit we had that there is no change in transport movements and that they do not run through the night. If I'm wrong, I'm sure the lady and gentleman next to you will.
There we go. Finishing 1800 hours, so that's fine. Okay, not even I'm in bed at 1800 hours. Okay, and 800 till 1:30 on Saturdays, that's fine. So I can't see anything wrong with that. The digester itself, it seems, is a good thing to change to the more appropriate technology. But the one thing that I was interested in was the 25 decibel question that keeps getting bandied around. 25 decibels from what? Because decibels aren't an absolute measurement. They're a relative measurement. So even in an office, it could be 50 decibels like this. So I don't really know what the 25 decibels is. And if it is 25, brilliant. Doesn't make any noise. So is that correct?
So on that one, I will ask the, and if you cannot answer, save right from the word go, and I will ask the applicant to answer that one with regards to that. I know what they said to us on the site visit when we walked around outside the site, outside the barrier.
So the 25 decibels would be measured at the window of the nearest properties, and that's set out in the condition.
Does that answer your question? Yeah. Thank you very much. Councillor Well.
Thank you very much, Joe. Yeah, why I asked for these conditions is that I was interested in the top one, material processing will do within the development hereby permitted, etc. Is that somewhat harsh, perhaps might be the word? I believe the process is already running at an experimental stage. So lorries are coming in and out anyway. It is also, of course, an industrial site where there is other traffic turning in and out of this, cement lorries, as we've heard, et cetera, et cetera. And I think, is this going to impose an unnecessary delay on getting this plant up and running? Because if it is, I don't think we ought to be imposing it, frankly. The traffic is turning in and out of there already. I realise the dangers of right turns, we all do. But is this really, if this is going to delay the full production of this plant, I would be opposed to that condition as it stands, Chairman.
Planner's mouth, but I mean, I think if it would be up to the highways to put a time limit on if we said that we were in favour of this particular application and we did not want any delay. But I think it possibly, but I will be guided by the office.
Okay, so I think it's basically a means of securing the right turn lane if it's required. As I said earlier, there is the applicant is working on a proposal to monitor the traffic movements to identify whether it is required at this particular point in time. But it was a requirement of the original permission, and until the information is there to say that it isn't required, the condition is necessary to secure the right turn lane.
Can I just clarify? Do the highways want the right turn put in as part of this application, or do they want it put in to assist the whole estate? Which is it?
They want it put in as part of this application, this permission, but they are not opposed in principle to looking at the need for it at this particular time. But that is through a different application.
And coming back on that, I'm sorry, Councillor Well, but I'll come back on that one. But who will be doing the monitoring? Will it be the Highways Department or will it be the applicants? Who will it be?
It'll be the applicant through a
travel through an outside agency doing it. Right. That answer your question?
No, not really. But I was just thinking if I was the applicant, I'd come up from the other way and turn left. But no, that was probably facetious. Sorry about that, Jim.
Depends which way you're coming from, travelling from. Councillor Kendall.
Thank you, Chair. Just to go on that one, I was quite surprised when I turned into that site on the site visit. I thought I was at loss at one time because the last time I was there a few years ago, there was nowhere near half as much as developed as now. But because of this right turn of the lorries, I've noticed there's a distribution company has moved in there on the left as I went in. And so that's obviously been increased, movements going there, turning right, or whatever. Is this really fair, imposing this? This is my point, because are they going to be monitoring every lorry going in there, or is it just going to be their lorries? It is a little bit confusing why this has suddenly come to this application and not ones previous, because there's been an awful lot over the last few years, in my opinion. And I'd like to say, Chair, that this is one application I enjoy going on a site visit, because the guy who was explaining it, he took us through the whole process, and a lot of these questions you wouldn't have to ask if he was there on site. I mean, this is a fabulous new type of technology from the beginning to the end, and especially the end, how it's going into the grid how it can, it's self-sufficient, producing electric for itself, you know, to do with the way we're going with this climate emergency. But I just wanted to say that we ought to be visit, more people ought to go on the site visit.
Thank you for that. You possibly took some of the words out of my mouth there. Site visits are very beneficial when you can get to them, but I appreciate, yeah.
Yes, Chairman, I'd like to propose accept the officer's decision.
With the, you're proposing the officer's recommendations as written with the conditions and with the consultation with the right-hand turn on the junction. That's the proposal. Is there a seconder around the room? Andy Saunton. Sorry about that, Fiona. I've had my hand smacked, forgot to put the microphone on. It's so easy, isn't it? Right, I will go around the room from my left. Kath, are you in favour or against the application? Councillor Well? Oh, yes, thank you for that. Wasn't pointed out to me, sorry. Did you finish? Had you finished your questions?
No. Can I just ask one thing?
Did you say no?
No.
Sorry.
When it says no materials for processing within the development hereby permitted shall be received until such a time the right lane on the A371 opposite the estate that has been fully constructed, that says to me, nothing happens now until that's been addressed. Is that, am I reading that right, or am I being stupid?
Yeah, you are reading it right. I think it's just the necessary form of wording to secure the right turn lane at some point. As I said, the Highway Authority isn't against in principle considering a change to that, but as it stands, we don't have the information to...
Before you come back... Andrew, can we clarify that this is a revised condition that the highways want?
It's basically a condition that was on previous permissions.
Right. So,
right.
But
thank
it is
you.
A condition.
You've answered,
it is a condition that highways want. Okay. Yeah.
This is a supplementary to this. So at the moment, it's full to capacity. Are we saying that's it? Nothing else can come in.
Yeah, at the moment, they're technically in breach of that condition, but we have to decide whether it's expedient to enforce against it. If they are to, you know, provide us information that there is no right-hand turn lane needed through the other application that Ruth's dealing with, then it may well be done away through the Section 106 agreement, or we could amend this condition to say within 12 months or something. The monitoring has to be undertaken.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. And the officers just said what I was going to say. Obviously, technically, if this was part of the original permission, they are in breach of that condition. So again, as another councillor in the room has already said, it seems a little bit harsh in this instance now, seeing as it's already progressing, that condition is put in place now to stop this development from working any further forward, because I went on the site visit and I thought the plant was extremely good. Now you have a raw material and an end product and gas going into the grid, and they produce all their own electricity to run the plant on site. So they're not taking any electricity out of the grid, and then they put gas back into the grid. And they have a byproduct at the end of the day, which is a fertilizer. Yes, so sorry, Chair. So my suggestion would be to put a time limit on that of 12 months.
But I was going to suggest an amendment to that same condition. I think it's unfair, and I was going to propose that we accept the proposal with that amendment or remove that condition for the same reason that that Martin was on about earlier, exactly the same, but to make it formal.
Just a point to what has been said, I had a point. This is a bio organic process, and once it's started, you have to keep it going. You can't stop these things. They run on a biological plant which has to be fed. So if you have to stop it, you actually stop at a very expensive process, and whether you have to start again, I don't know the ins and outs of that. So I think to have no material be processed, etc., is a very, very harsh and quite frankly unfair. Because the process, Chairman, the process, as I understand from our site visit, is in full swing now. Experimental, yes, but it's in full swing, so it can't be stopped. And if we put in a condition which may cause it to stop, I would be very uncomfortable with it, and I couldn't vote for it, frankly.
Yes, I sort of agree with that because it is a continual process. But I thought members might be, it might be helpful to know if there's an intended increase in vehicle movements from the current activity. And is that why Highways are worried? They think it takes the movements of vehicles in and out of that turning go past a certain point where they're not happy. Now, is that the case, or is it a case of business as usual now, just continuing, which case, they've allowed it to continue this far. I can't see any justifiable reason for shutting it down. But if the movements were to go up dramatically, then I can see that as a reason why they're concerned. I don't know how we get clarification on this.
Firstly, I apologise. I'm going to, with your permission, ignore the voting which we've done, because I think there should possibly, there's going to be another amendment come forward. Simon.
Thank you, Chair. Yes. The issue for that particular condition is that was a condition on the original application, which the applicants are in breach of. So we have a choice. We can either enforce that condition, which would have possibly a detrimental effect on the business, or we could put a sensible time limit on the work being done to bring both these planning applications up to the standard we require. And Highways have made the point about the right turn, and we all know about the dangers of a right-hand turn. So the suggestion has already come from Councillor Sutton that we impose a 12-month condition, a time limit of 12 months on that condition, which gets us over the problem of deciding to enforce or not enforce, because there is now a time period which can be enforced, but it allows the plant to continue. But there will be, within the 12-month period, a revision to the turn right argument. So we're solving the issue and allowing the plant to go forward. If we amend that condition, that's been suggested by Councillor Sutton, that we amend that condition with a 12-month time limit. I haven't seen anybody second it yet, but I'm sure somebody will. Matt, thank you, Matt. So we're now in a position where we have a proposed amendment to that, to these conditions, which reiterates the necessity of that first condition from the first application and this amended condition. So I would suggest that that is probably the way around this issue, because it allows work to continue, and it allows work to continue on rectifying the default that Highways have and the concerns Highways have about that right turn. So I would suggest that that's what we do. It's been proposed and seconded. It's down to the Chair now, but thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. I think we still have to have in there somewhere that it's being consulted on, and the figures of the traffic movements are being considered to see the necessity of that. So I agree,
I would be happy to see that change with the 12 months incurred, subject to the appraisal of that junction still being carried out to see whether it is need that right turn is needed or not. Correct. And a moment, please.
Thank you, Chairman. I'd just like to mention that the appraisal of the need for that change to the junction is already part of a separate application which is being processed, and we weren't able to present that application to you, to this committee, at the same time because there's further information required from the applicant to determine the need and the timing of that junction improvement, so that it wouldn't need to be secured in this application because the application is already submitted and being considered.
So the time limit of 12 months will give consideration for all of that to be resolved. So, and Simon's proposal is...
No, it's Andy Simon's proposal, actually, seconded by Matt.
Apologies. Seconded by Matt. Now, are members happy to proceed and take the vote on that amendment to the original proposal? Right. I will now go round the room again and I will start.
Chairman, could I just emphasise that the recommendation is there will be a section 106 securing highway works and financial provisions of a travel plan, and then the conditions that we've just discussed. Yeah. So it's that amended recommendation. Thank you, Chairman.
All clear.
Neil will
conduct the vote.
Okay, so I've called the names of the members of the committee, and it's the members of the committee who will be making the decision on the application. And thank you to the legal officer for the clarification on the revised condition and the amendment that has been made. So can I ask for members to indicate if they are in favour of the in voting in favour of the application? Councillor Simon Coles?
In favour.
Councillor Coles is in favour. Councillor Brian Bolt? Councillor Bolt is in favour. Councillor Mike Caswell? Councillor Caswell is in favour. Councillor Michael Dunk? Councillor Dunk is in favour. Councillor Tony Grimes? Councillor Grimes votes in favour. Councillor Edric Hobbs? Councillor Hobbs votes in favour. Councillor Andy Kendall? Councillor Kendall is in favour. Councillor Matt Martin? Councillor Martin votes in favour. Councillor Mike Murphy? Councillor Murphy is in favour. Councillor Cathy Pearce? Councillor Pearce is in favour. Councillor Andy Sorton? Councillor Sorton votes in favour. Councillor Martin Whale? Councillor Whale votes in favour. And Councillor Tony Locke?
Favour.
Councillor Locke votes in favour. So that is a unanimous vote in favour of the application. Thank you, Chair.
Everyone was in agreement there that they wanted to see this application and this business proceed because it's all part of moving forward with recycling, regeneration and reducing and carbon footprint. It helps with everything. And as you say, I would like to reiterate Councillor Kendall's words. Site visits, unfortunately, are for some members are more important than it is for others, and I realize some members have other commitments and you get illness and that, but site visits are there for a reason, to help inform members and let them see firsthand exactly what the situation is on the ground, and as you heard today, they are very, very beneficial. But thank you very much for your patient. I will now move on to item six.
Abbey Farm, Chalkwell Street, Glastonbury. SCC/4015/20220, page 33 to 40.
Colin Arnold to introduce.
Yeah, I am going to invite the Colin Arnold to introduce the item and highlight the key points. And I believe he has a PowerPoint on this one. Have you, Colin? Could we sort the lights out, please?
Thank you, Chairman. This is a straightforward advert application for a sign at the Somerset Rural Life Museum in Chalkwell Street in Glastonbury. It will be sited within the Glastonbury Conservation Area near to a Grade 1 listed building known as Abbey Barn. And when we go for the slides, I'll show you Abbey Barn. It will replace an existing ground pole mounted sign with a six metre high banner sign saying Somerset Rural Life Museum in green lettering. It will be below the trees behind in height, and therefore it will screen. They will be screened from the listed Abbey Barn. There are no highways objections to this proposal, Chairman, and the Historic England have no objections to this sign. It will be visually preferable to the existing sign, and far more effective as a sign to what is quite a sudden access following a nearby junction to the museum itself. There is a submitted signpost method statement which shows that there will be no impact on the trees to the rear, which is one of the concerns of the objectors. Therefore, Chairman, the application is recommended for approval subject to conditions and a single informative. By way of update, we've had a correspondence from a councillor, Susanna Hart, and she's concerned about new sign needs causing a distraction in the place, which is already a traffic hazard. If we can move to the slides. That's the application site up close. The pro sign is up to the north of that, but we'll see a plan of it later. Next slide, please. That's the images on the which are proposed for the signage. That's front and back. And that's not very clear. Next slide, please. You can see on to the right of the gateposts there is the proposed banner sign. And just to the left of the gatepost, as it were, is the sign which is going to be removed, which is you'll see in a later photo what it looks like. Next slide, please. And there's an elevation, if you like, of the proposed banner sign. Next slide. That's the sign on the left of the street view, which will be removed. The banner is on the right hand side, and it will be obviously screened by the trees to its rear. Next slide. So in terms of visual amenity, it's considered acceptable. In terms of the impact on the conservation area, it's probably more attractive than the existing sign, which is going to be removed as part of this proposal. So there won't be any visual clutter. And in terms of highway safety, as I already mentioned, the County Highways Authority do have no objections to this sign. Next slide. So therefore, as previously said, planning permission is recommended subject to conditions. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Colin. We have one speaker on this, and that is an objector, Rowena Beaumont, and I believe she is online. Is she present there, Rowena?
Yes, I'm here. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon to you. If you'd like to start your comments, and I have to remind you that you have 3 minutes.
Okay, that's fine.
Thank you.
My name is Rowena Beaumont. I actually live opposite the Rural Life Museum. When the planning applications went out in the autumn of 2022, there was no reference at all to the sign being in Bear Lane. It was on the letter, it was only Abbey Farm, Chalkwell Street. So my neighbours had not realised that it was anything to do with Beer Lane. That was one question. So I wondered why it wasn't made clear to the residents in Beer Lane. The second thing was I couldn't find anywhere anything to do with the visual sign and to see what it was looking like or the dimensions of it. And also I did contact Rural Life Museum and the the Heritage Trust, wasn't it? Southwest Heritage Trust. The Rural Life Museum couldn't find the sign anywhere online for any of us to see. And also, because I live in the area, I studied the signs around, and the sat navs and route planners actually take everybody to Chilkwell Street. There's a little sign on a gate in Chilkwell Street, if you know the area. And there's nothing on the big sign, which is Bear Lane Junction, which points left. Or if you're coming the other way, there's another big sign. There's nothing that points right. So you might put a new steel sign up, which I wouldn't like to have because I live opposite. And, you know, I'm sure if you have bought houses where you've bought them, you wouldn't like a commercial sign opposite your home. But the key thing is, I don't think this is going to make too much of a difference because people need to be directed to Bear Lane. I will say I had no idea that the big sign, which is unintrusive at the moment to me, I didn't know that was going to be removed in place of the steel pole. But and my question, I'm more sort of concerned about the trees, but because it's a very lovely patch of green and trees and snowdrops at the moment, which I wouldn't really want to be sort of interfered with anyway. So interesting because I recently had to go to a meeting at the Newt near Castle Kerry, and I haven't got a sat nav. I don't do that. I don't want to live my life on technical things, but I found it very easily because the signs were very good and all
30 seconds left.
Okay, so what I'm saying is I feel it's the signs themselves around that need to direct traffic to Bear Lane is the issue. So thank you for letting me speak.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Bowman. Thank you very much indeed. The next one I would invite to speak on the list, if they are around, are the local members, Councillor Cottle and Councillors Hart. Are they online? They are not online. Points raised by the public speaker.
Thank you, Chairman. Just getting a slide up. I take the point about Bear Lane. The sign is closer to Bear Lane, but Somerset Rural Life Museum is situated in Chilkwell Street. However, when the slide comes up, I'll explain a bit more. There was a concern about consultation. The letter went out with the address associated with the Rural Life Museum itself. There were images on the proposed signage. I'm looking at them now on our portal as proposed signage images. We've already confirmed that no trees will be removed for the erection of this signpost, and that's been confirmed by the agent of what we call a tree method statement. Sign method statement. We've got evidence of a site note. It's being posted on the 27th of September 2022 on the railings outside, and we've got photographic proof of that. If that was removed, we obviously we don't know anything about that, but it was certainly put up as per the regulations. So we have consulted widely, and you know, no trees will be harmed as part of this application.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that, Colin. Right, committee members, who would like to speak first? Edric.
I vote we set a proposal.
I'll second that again.
Right. Now, does anybody else wish to speak and change the proposal? I will hold that for us for a minute, that is proposed and seconded. Right. I have to ask, are there any other committee members who are not part of this meeting who wish to speak on this application? No. Okay. Want to conduct the vote?
Thank you, Chair. And just to clarify that the recommendation is that permission is granted, subject to conditions set out in section 10 of the report, and the authority to undertake any minor non-material editing is delegated to the service manager. So I will now call members of the committee for, and ask for their votes. Councillor Simon Coles.
For.
Councillor Coles is in favour.
In favour.
Councillor Brian Bolt.
For.
Is in favour. Councillor Mike Caswell. Votes in favour. Councillor Michael Dunk. Votes in favour. Councillor Tony Grimes.
For.
Votes in favour. Councillor Edric Hobbs.
For.
Votes in favour. Councillor Andy Kendall. Votes in favour. Councillor Matt Martin.
For.
Votes in favour. Councillor Mike Murphy. Votes in favour. Councillor Cathy Pierce. Votes in favour. Councillor Andy Sorton. Votes in favour. Councillor Martin Whale. And Councillor Tony Locke.
For.
Votes in favour. So just to confirm that that's been supported unanimously by the committee.
Thank you, Neil. Thank you, members. I would just like to say from the chair that if there are any members here who haven't, I would suggest that a visit to the museum there, the Rural Life Museum, is very well worth a visit. And just before, do members wish to have a 2-minute comfort break before we move on to the next item? And it will only be 2 minutes. Yes, anyone? Or is it on? Simon, so I will. Oh no, it's two. See you sometime in the future, Helen. Yeah, bye-bye.